Welcome to Agency of the Month, brought to you by CenturyLink on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. My name is Sean McCauley, and for the month of November, we're taking a look at the Social Security Administration. Last week was part one of a two-part series with the SSA's Deputy Commissioner for Budget, Finance, Quality, and Management, Peter Spencer. You can find part one of our conversation archived at federalnewsradio.com, search term Agency of the Month. We discussed how the agency is handling improper payments and how fiscal uncertainty is affecting the agency as a whole. Now, Peter, I'd like to start part two with a little bit of a recap on a success story that you enjoy at the Social Security Administration that deals specifically with improper payments. So why don't you just give us a little primer as to improper payments, what they mean for your agency, and then what is your agency doing to prevent those from happening?
Improper payments are very important to us, and in fact, we're following the lead of the president to try to reduce improper payments across the organization. So just to start with some definitions, improper payments are payments that result from a number of different things. First of all, an error on our part in computing the payment. We don't think we do that very often, but it can happen. That's usually based on not having the right information from the claimant or somebody else who's providing it to us about their income resources and those kinds of things. Secondly, not obtaining or not taking action on available information affecting the payment. There may be some information that has been reported to us, and because of staffing shortages, we may not have jumped on that information quickly enough, and there may be a payment that goes out for a month or two that is incorrect. A third area would be a beneficiary's failure to report something to us, where they all have reporting responsibilities. If there are changes in their life that would affect their payments, they sign a statement that says they're going to report all those things, and there are times when they fail to do that. And then, of course, a fourth area obviously would be when they report something, but it's not correct. They've given us bad information. So we have to go behind that oftentimes and corroborate that the information is correct or seek other information that may conflict with what they've told us.
What do you mean when you say going behind?
So there are a number of different initiatives we have that address that, but one of them is something we call access to financial institutions. So if someone is on their Supplemental Security Income Program, which is a needs-based program, they are supposed to have limited income and resources. So as an example, they're supposed to tell us if they have bank accounts. When they tell us what they have, they may say to us that they have one bank account that's $1,000, and that's below the threshold, so they would be eligible just based on that particular factor, other factors obviously to consider. But one of the things we do is we go to other financial institutions than the bank that they reported, and we find out if maybe there are other bank accounts that the individual has. And that's been a very successful program to reduce overpayments, because it turns out that people do have hidden bank accounts. So that's an example of the kind of thing where we go behind the information that they provide to us.
I'm speaking with Peter Spencer. He's the Deputy Commissioner for Budget, Finance, Quality, and Management at the Social Security Administration. Now, Peter, outside of improper payments, which the Social Security Administration clearly is taking very seriously, I'm curious about the acquisition workforce, because I see that as being a place where there could be a lot of potential cost benefits and ways to drive down costs for the agency. What is that process? What does that workforce look like?
Well, acquisition is obviously very, very important to us because it's a place where we're trying to save money. One of the things that we're doing, Sean, is we're working very closely with GSA, the General Services Administration. Dan Tangerlini and his team over there have really done a great job of taking hold of acquisition approaches that allow us to leverage the buying capacity of all agencies to drive down the costs of acquisitions, whether it's computers or whether it's contracting folks or whatever it may be. We really have worked very closely with Dan Tangerlini and his folks to make sure we're getting the best value we can. I can tell you here at Social Security, in fiscal 13, we were able to save about $120 million below what we anticipated the cost was going to be for our contracts that we let. That's because we have a great acquisition staff that negotiated with the vendors. And it's also because with GSA's help, we were able to get lower prices on the GSA lists where folks qualify to provide materials and contracting abilities for us. So I would just say that for us, the most important thing is to have an airtight process where there's no question about the validity of the process we're following, where it's an open and free competition. It's not to say that sometimes there isn't a need for some kind of sole source acquisition, but for the most part, we really do want to have open and free competition. We really pride ourselves on doing that. We also are very much focused on our small business goals to try to give as many contracts as we can to small and disadvantaged vendors. The Commissioner of Social Security has really set that as a priority for my shop to make sure we do that, and we have been ahead of the government-wide goal in making sure that our awards are given to those groups. So at the end of the day, what we want is a process in which vendors feel they've had a fair opportunity to compete, that the process has been a rigorous one on our part to make sure that we've gotten the best value for the taxpayer, and that we've given the products and services to our components, to our customers in the organization that they required, and that we do it in the most timely manner we can. Sometimes we're in a hurry. That's an obvious issue for everyone across the government. When we finally decide to do something, we want to get that contract in place as quickly as possible. And so we really move to do that. And one of the challenges for every organization is things seem to always come to fruition at the end of the fiscal year, which is often, again, a function of the fact that Congress doesn't tell us what our budget's going to be until halfway through the year. And then all of a sudden you've got this compression at the end when you're trying to move out and get things done. So it really causes us to try to figure out how we can spread out acquisition a little more over the course of the year. But again, you can see the dilemma when you don't know what the budget's really going to be, and you can see the wide swings in what it might be. It makes it a little harder. But we've got a great group, and we're really moving out, and I think we're doing a very good job.
One thing that can help any agency is reducing costs. And I know the General Services Administration is working really hard to reduce and consolidate the real property portfolio across the federal government. And I'm curious as to whether or not the Social Security Administration is focusing on similar areas, because you do have an Office of Facilities and Supply Management. But since having the field offices, the local presence is so important, is there any similarities? Are you guys using that as a method of reducing costs, or is this something that is just so ingrained in what the SSA is that we have to find ways to reduce costs on that front in different ways?
Sean, I'm glad you asked that question, because while certainly, as you say, our local field offices and our community-based offices are really important to us, we are absolutely in lockstep with Dan Tangerlini again and GSA on the President's initiative, which is called Freeze the Footprint. And for us, it's really one step beyond that, and that's reduce the footprint. So our expectation is that by the end of fiscal 15, we will have done a significant reduction in the square footage that we occupy across our enterprise. And so question is, how do we do that? Well, as an example here in our headquarters, we're consolidating folks who are in leased facilities in 9 buildings that are just a bit off campus from our main complex, and bringing them onto the main campus. As we have lost staff, that has freed up space in the main complex. We've also figured out how to use less space. We've implemented new space standards that allow us also to reduce the amount of square footage that we need. So as an example, by bringing in folks from 7 of those 9 off-campus facilities, we're going to bring down our footprint by about 2 million square feet. That obviously is going to save us money. At the same time, by implementing a more aggressive telework program, we know that we're going to have folks that are going to be sharing space, and that's going to allow us also to reduce our requirements. Our Commissioner Colvin is very much pushing telework in this agency, and that's going to be another important factor as it helps us with our footprint. So I would also just say to you that we're looking, as we never have before, at how we can have various components that are out in the field work together to consolidate their offices in the same facility and share some common areas. So we have field offices where folks come in for their initial claims and from some of their post-entitlement work. And then we have other folks who go to our hearing offices to have an administrative law judge make a decision on an appeal that they filed. And so we're looking to combine those offices where we can to, again, have common areas for break rooms and other things like that where we can reduce the total square footage that we would otherwise need. So we're really moving out to do that. It will also help us with our sustainability because we'll by having fewer facilities and fewer square feet, we will also not need as much in the way of energy consumption to run those facilities. So we think we're on the right path, and so it's not just freeze the footprint for us, it's reduce the footprint.
Well, sir, congratulations on your progress so far by the agency to reduce its climate footprint. We're going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, I'd like to ask you about how you look at the end of a fiscal year and then start planning for the next one. We just wrapped up fiscal 2013, so as you look back on that fiscal year, I'd like to know how you're taking what you've learned and what you've seen in the past fiscal year, especially with all the budget pressures so far and the possibility of sequestration continuing for fiscal years to come. How do you take that information, how do you take that knowledge and transfer it into your planning process for the next fiscal year? So we'll talk about that when we return. I'm speaking with Peter Spencer. He's the Deputy Commissioner for Budget, Finance, Quality, and Management at the Social Security Administration. My name is Sean McCauley, and you're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. For the month of November, we're looking at the Social Security Administration. We'll be back in just a moment.
It looks like the forecast is calling for a whole new cloud. Brought to you by CenturyLink. Get a visionary cloud infrastructure and custom communication solutions with CenturyLink, all built on a global, secure, carrier-grade network. And their custom solutions and support models are designed to enhance your efficiency every day of the week. Let their cloud infrastructure blanket you with security. Visit CenturyLink.com/gov. That's CenturyLink.com/gov to learn more.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. My name is Sean McCauley, and for the month of November, we're taking a look at the Social Security Administration. Last week was part one of a two-part series with the SSA's Deputy Commissioner for Budget, Finance, Quality, and Management. His name is Peter Spencer, and you can find part one of our conversation archived at federalnewsradio.com, search term Agency of the Month. And last time we discussed how the agency is handling improper payments, and a little bit about how fiscal uncertainty is going to affect the agency as a whole going into fiscal 2014, I'd like to take a little bit of a backwards look for our remaining time. As you wrapped up fiscal 2013, what did you learn about the agency and how the agency runs? And then what are the lessons that you're taking out of that information in order to plan and prepare for fiscal 2014 and even fiscal 2015, 2016, as the budget situation in Washington continues to evolve and the prospect of sequestration may or may not stay behind? We're not exactly sure yet. So how do you take what you've learned in the past and convert that into what you want to do in the future?
As we look at the end of fiscal 13, our problems are certainly exacerbated by a sequestration. We haven't had the funding for the last 3 years that the president requested. We've been $1 billion below the president's request in each of those years. And what that has meant is we've lost 11,000 employees between our federal operations and our state operations. That means we can't serve the public in the way we need to. So It means that our waiting times in our field offices are growing. It means that our 800 number cannot respond as quickly to all the callers who are calling us. And the point is that the Social Security Administration is serving a clientele that is growing every day, because the baby boomers have gotten to the point where they're retiring, or if they're not at the age where they're retiring, they're in their most disability-prone years. So we're really facing a very rapidly increasing workload. At the same time, our workforce is diminishing greatly. So what that means is that we have not been able to provide the kind of service that we have been certainly cited for doing in many, many years. The other part of this is the taxpayers' concerns about improper payments. And without the budget, we lose the opportunity to do a number of the initiatives that we would otherwise do, most importantly, the medical disability determinations that we do, where we go back and make sure that somebody is still entitled to disability benefits. So here we are wanting to save money, but in a program that would give us $9 back for every dollar we spend, we didn't have the budget to do the medical CDRs, as we call them, continuing disability reviews. And so instead of doing $650,000, which the Budget Control Act provides, we only could fund $422,000. And with a $9 return for every dollar spent, you can see we missed a great opportunity to reduce the deficit and to contribute to a more appropriate program. So it's been a real challenge as we've gone through 13, and part of our challenge has been also in planning for 14, because in my 45 years, I've never seen such a wide variation in what our budget might be for 14. So that means as we plan, we have to consider a wide range from what the House has passed and what the Senate has passed, and there's never been such a great variation. And so planning, especially strategic planning, is very, very difficult in that environment. So we are really digging in using zero-based budgeting as our model for trying to make sure we provide the greatest flexibility for the commissioner on the decisions that she's going to have to make as we start 14. But knowing that in 13, there were so many things we could not complete and that our workloads have continued to grow. And honestly, what we're facing in 14 is the prospects of having as many as or more than a million disability claims pending in our state disability determination services. We've never been in that place before, but the prospects, depending on what the budget is, as we go into 14, are that could become a reality. And at the same time, the backlog of hearings in our organization that handles those hearings before administrative law judges could also grow to a million. So these are unprecedented levels of backlogs of work that are brought on by sequestration and by the fact that we do not have the opportunity to do the work that we need to do to serve the American public. And it's kind of ironic because, as you know, the Social Security program itself is funded by the FICA tax, the contributions that folks have made to run the program. So it's a real challenge for us. We're certainly going to rise to the challenge to do everything we can possibly do, but it's a very, very difficult deck of cards that we're being dealt.
I'm speaking with Peter Spencer. He's the Deputy Commissioner for Budget, Finance, Quality, and Management at the Social Security Administration. Peter, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'd like to ask you a little bit more about the budget uncertainties and what the process of transferring from one fiscal year to another looks like, especially when there's an era of sequestration and budget pressure coming from all sides on federal agencies. So we'll be right back. Again, you're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. I'm Sean McCauley, and for the month of November, we're looking at the Social Security Administration. We'll be right back.
Let's get down to brass tacks. There's nothing more important than trust. CenturyLink offers cybersecurity solutions to the government. and the Department of Homeland Security has approved CenturyLink to provide enhanced cybersecurity services to critical infrastructure entities to keep you efficient and secure. As your trusted technology partner, their visionary cloud infrastructure, global broadband network, along with custom communication solutions and response dedicated support, provide the scalable solutions you need 24/7, 365. Visit CenturyLink.com/gov to learn more.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. My name is Sean McCauley. In the month of November, we're looking at the Social Security Administration. Last week was part one of a two-part series with the SSA's Deputy Commissioner for Budget, Finance, Quality, and Management. His name is Peter Spencer. You can find part one of our conversation archived at federalnewsradio.com, search term Agency of the Month. We discussed how the agency is handling improper payments, how fiscal uncertainty is infecting the agency as a whole, and we're actually continuing that conversation in this final segment for the show. Now, Peter, when you look at the end of fiscal 2013 and look forward into fiscal 2014 or even fiscal 2015 or 16, however long sequestration lasts, how do you grapple that budget uncertainty that's affecting all of your agency's programs from top to bottom and look at the workload you're supposed to take care of and try to fulfill the agency's mission, but also have to realize you're working with constrained resources?
I think the key thing for us, Sean, is to make sure that we don't get caught up in just cutting everything and not investing in strategic initiatives that will help us in the long run. So we may have to sacrifice some things that we would normally do in order to make sure that we invest in information technology, as an example, so that we can be the most efficient organization possible. So our executive team is certainly coming together to decide on, as an example, maybe the top 15 IT projects that we should do, as opposed to 100 or 120 that we would be spending a more limited amount of money on to try to keep all of them going and having all those balls in the air. We're kind of circling the wagons around the most important things that we believe we need to do in order to survive and, again, to become more efficient and effective. So we really have called upon our executive team to collaborate and to make sure that we're giving the commissioner the best advice we can about what those things would be.
I'm speaking with Peter Spencer. He's the Deputy Commissioner for Budget, Finance, Quality, and Management at the Social Security Administration. Now, we're already well into fiscal 2014, and its beginning was trumpeted loudly by a government shutdown, but let's take an overall look at fiscal 2013, which is really when sequestration slammed home for a lot of agencies in terms of its effect and its impact on agency programs and missions. How do you think fiscal 2013 went for the Social Security Administration?
Well, it's been very, very difficult. There's no question about it. We have had the deterioration in service that we just don't want to see. We're here to serve the American public. And the challenge for us is that we are a people-based organization. Our budget is really invested in payroll. It's our people. So as we continue to lose folks, and as I said earlier, having lost 11,000 folks over the last 3 years, it means that we just can't serve. So people in the American public are finding the service is not what they would necessarily expect, and they're frustrated. So one of the things that's happening is when they come to our offices, they take out their anxiety on our people. We're finding a number of incidents that are occurring where the public is much more volatile. I can understand their frustration, but when they're finding, as an example, that we had to reduce our hours that were open in our field offices so that, as an example, we are not open in the afternoons on Wednesdays, they take out their frustration on our employees, and we do have quite a number of incidents that where they make threats to our employees, and that's a real challenge for us. So it's been a tough year. And knowing that sequestration is still something that potentially could occur for 9 more years, it really does cause us to pause and reconsider how we're going to be able to meet the challenge of all the baby boomers and others who are coming to us every day. Again, serving 65 million people is quite a challenge. We serve everyone, and we pride ourselves on being the very best at doing that. But with limited resources, it's becoming more and more difficult.
I'm speaking with Peter Spencer. He's the Deputy Commissioner for Budget, Finance, Quality, and Management at the Social Security Administration. Now, Peter, as you look back on fiscal 2014, pretend another deputy commissioner is in place at the Social Security Administration, or even when a new senior executive comes into the office on day one, what do they need to understand? What do they need to know in order to plan and succeed during this budget uncertainty?
I think the advice for everyone is just to step back and try to think about the longer term. It's very easy to get caught up in the what I would call mission myopia, where you're just trying to deal with the fires that are there today. I don't think that's going to work. You're still going to have to step back and be more strategic about it and make sure that you are trying to put aside money to do the things that are going to help the agency in the long run. You're going to have to make some tough choices, and you're going to have to stop doing some things that you just never considered stopping in the past. There's some things that we've stopped doing, we had no choice. Like, we used to send out Social Security statements to everybody right before their birthday, about 3 months before. We had to stop doing that, just like we had to close our offices earlier. So it's a challenge, but we're going to have to make trade-offs, and everybody else is going to have to make trade-offs in order to be successful in the long run.
Office and its investigative work. After that, I'll speak with Dr. Reginald Wells. He's the Deputy Commissioner of the SSA's Office of Human Resources. He'll have some insight into workforce and workplace initiatives at the agency. Thanks again for listening to the November edition of Agency of the Month featuring the Social Security Administration. I'm Sean McCauley, and this is Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
You've been listening to Agency of the Month, brought to you by CenturyLink on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety at federalnewsradio.com. Agency of the Month, Thursday mornings at 11:30 AM, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Your source for federal news now.
The secret to being successful is never slowing down. Your agency's mission doesn't have a pause button, and with CenturyLink as your trusted technology partner, you don't have to slow down. Their visionary cloud infrastructure and custom communication solutions are backed by dedicated responsive support. Pause button not included. To learn more about how CenturyLink keeps you up and rolling 24/7, 365, visit CenturyLink.com/gov. That's CenturyLink.com/gov.
Join MD Bio Foundation and the Hispanic Heritage Foundation to learn more about the many STEM career opportunities at their Leaders on the Fast Track Career Symposium. The event is aimed at Latinos, African Americans, and other minority high school juniors, seniors, and college undergraduates. The STEM Career Symposium will be held Saturday, November 16, from 10 till 2 at the Johns Hopkins campus in Rockville, Maryland. For more information and to register, visit mdbiofoundation.org.